Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word. You've taught us so many things in the book of John, and so many things that you knew. He was the one that he said he was the apostle whom Jesus loved. And so, Lord, we see a relationship. We see lots of relationships. We see how you interacted with people and the way you thought about them, and you cared about them. And, just like, on Sunday we talked about John 4, and you must needs go through Samaria because there was a lady there at the well that needed to be attended to, and a whole town that needed to get saved. And there's so many ways you actually touched, you saw the individual. And here again this evening we're going to see some of that. And so, Lord, help us to see who you are. Realize that though you are the almighty, omniscient, sovereign God, you know our hearts. And you chose us individually to be yours. And you know us. And you come seeking for us. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Lord, speak to our hearts here tonight. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's begin reading at the first part. I know we studied this last week, but in John chapter 20, verse number 1. Let me begin reading that just to get us into context here. All right. It says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher." And of course, this has been 3 days since Jesus was crucified. And we talked about last week, all because they didn't know God's word. There's a lot of things they went through. There was a long three days, because they really thought it was all over. Verse 2. "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, Well, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they laid him. So she comes to the tomb, the stone's rolled away, and Mary assumes that man was able to go into the tomb and carry Jesus out. And she was worried about how in the world she was going to get that stone rolled away, but she assumes that they had been there to carry Jesus out. She did not assume that Jesus came out on his own. She did not assume that. Now, she should have assumed that, but she didn't, because he had told us, and we went through all that last week. Now, Peter, therefore, went forth, and that other disciple, speaking of John himself, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher." Nanner, nanner, nanner. He has to put that in there. "And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." And Miss Joyce talked about that on Sunday night, if you were here to hear that. "Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. When it said he saw and believed," and you put that with verse 9, "for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead," they had heard it. Not that they hadn't heard it over and over and over and over and over and over again. They didn't know it. How many times have we heard things and we say, "Well, I never heard that"? I've had people come up to me one time and say, "You know, preacher, I think subconsciously they kind of heard it." They said, "You know what you ought to preach about?" In fact, I forget what, on my car, my cell phone has the Bluetooth, and so I punch it on my car to the, it plays over my radio so I can do hands-free and all that kind of stuff. And so sometimes, like on a Thursday or Friday or something, Janet's out there with me, I don't get much time with her. She's such a busy lady. So on Thursday and Friday, we go out and have lunch together. And we're out about lunchtime. And of course, the phone comes across the car there. And I push it a button. And someone will call and ask. And I've had times where they said, "Now, preacher, you know what? I was thinking maybe you ought to preach about so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so." And that's okay. You know, here's how I've been thinking about this. I thought that might be something that would really touch some hearts. And I said, "Yeah, probably is." And I hang up. My wife said, "Weren't they listening last Sunday? That's what you preached on last Sunday." I said, "I know." Yeah, and usually that's the way it is. But that's because subconsciously they kind of heard it go by, kind of breezed by, and and God got them thinking, but they really weren't listening. And how many times do we hear the word of God, but we're not listening? They had heard it, but they didn't know it yet. Now, we went through all that last week. Over and over and over and over and over again, he said. Starting at the beginning of his ministry, in the middle of his ministry, end of his ministry. He told them, we're going down to Jerusalem, they're going to crucify me, and the third day I'm going to rise again. Why didn't they know it? I don't know, but they didn't. So at this point, they didn't know that. So when it says, he saw what? He saw the empty tomb. He saw the grave clothes lying over here. He saw the napkin that was about the face, wrapped up, laying over there in the corner by itself. And he saw all that and he believed. But what did he believe? Well, apparently it wasn't the scripture, because it says as of that point, they didn't know. And they went home, they went on their way, and they're kind of sad. What were we going to do? Now, this all looks very cut and dry. Jesus is dead. He was not powerful enough to conquer the religious people, nor could he conquer the Romans, because they got the best of him and executed him, and now he's dead. And sometimes things go in our lives, we say, well, I guess God's not big enough for this one. Well, I guess he's just not going to do this. Well, I know we've read it in the Bible. You know, I've heard about it, but I guess it's just not true. If God said it, we ought to know that it's true. See, sometimes we say, well, that's what it says, but is that really what it means? So at that point, we still don't know the truth. The truth has not become part of us. Oh, we've heard the truth. We might even be able to quote back the truth. But in our heart, we don't know. Not only that, God was not even able to, God wasn't even able to preserve the body, because flesh and blood has been able to take the body, and who knows what they did with it. And you think about all these things are going through their minds. Where's the body? Where is it? Now, we have a decision. By the way, the other reason I know that that John and Peter didn't believe, you could say, maybe they did believe because they just now believed. No, because a little later, the girls are going to see the angel. And they're going to go back and tell the disciples. And the Bible says that there was as if they were idle tales. They still didn't believe. So these guys, what did they believe? They believed that his body was taken. That's what they believe. They believe, but not the truth. They've heard the truth, but they yet don't know it. So now we have a decision to make, or they have a decision to make. And I say now we, because we come to circumstances like this. We know what the Bible says. We know what the Word of God says. We know what Jesus has told us. And yet we're looking at the circumstances, and you really feel like, well, the circumstances must override God's word. I think there's some things going on right now in our world. I really do. I think God's got stuff going on that we just don't know about. And we're all saying, well, I guess God just couldn't do anything. I'm not so sure yet. I'm just not so sure yet. So do we accept the circumstances as they appear to be and simply drop all this Jesus stuff that has deluded us for the last 3 years, the disciples thinking? Or do we refuse to give up to the circumstances? See, either we accept the circumstances and assume that's what's going on, and we believe what we see and we are interpreting what we see as if God's a failure, or do we refuse to allow the circumstances to talk us into giving up truth? See, sometimes we give up to the circumstances and we think it's some neurotic attempt to hang on to some kind of false reality. And the world says it's over. But it's not over if the Lord has not said it's over. All right, that's right. Now, if we're not careful, say, well, that's all just wishful thinking. Now, wait, we're Christians here. We believe the word of God. He said, well, if we have faith, we can move mountains. Well, what's faith? Action based on a promise or command of God. Now, maybe we don't need to move any mountains today, but if we did, he could do it. Maybe there's something that God wants to do, and the reason he's not is because we don't have enough faith as a mustard seed to actually take the step, an action based on a promise or a command of God. Number one, don't give up seeking for Jesus. Now, I call this message, Things You Learn While Looking for Jesus. Things you learn while looking for Jesus. Don't give up seeking for Jesus. Verse 8, back in verse 8, says, Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then disciples went away again unto their own home. Why, if they believed that he had risen from the grave, I don't think they'd go home. Well, okay. I don't think they'd go home. I think they'd go out in the street and say, Hey, guess what? Look at verse 11. In chapter 20, verse 11, Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. So the guys go home. That's my point is, they see the empty tomb. They assume not the resurrection, but they assume somebody has stolen the body. So the guys leave and go home. And there stands Mary. The woman that who had had 7 demons cast out of her. She knows the miraculous. She has seen the miraculous. She knows love. She has seen love. So there stands Mary without the sepulcher, outside the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. Well, it's almost like, well, he's not in here someplace, is he? He's not back in another part of the cave or something, because it probably was a cave, and no. We didn't miss something. It probably didn't roll over behind some rock or something, or no. And she looks into the sepulcher. Now wait a minute. Where's the guys? They went home. Now they just left the tomb. But there was one little lady who was still looking. She was looking at an empty tomb. I remember a couple times when I was writing a paper in college, and you start out with a blank screen on your computer, and it looks back at you. And you know what I found? The longer you look at that blank screen, it doesn't help. It's still blank. Every time I look back at it, it's still blank. And she stooped down and looked in this tomb. It was still empty. Wait a minute, it should have been. She stuck around. Why would she bother to stick around and look at that empty tomb? Because she just felt like there's got to be something. He's here someplace. I'm going to keep looking. Even though that all the circumstances said, it's over, Mary. Give it up. Just let it alone. We had a good ride. Let's just move on. But not Mary. So she's standing there looking inside the tomb. And when she looks inside the tomb, verse 12, she sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Two markers. Just so you know, Mary, this is where he was. Isn't that right, Gabe? Yep, Mike. Yep. No, I don't know what their name were. But this is where he was. Right here. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Now, isn't that a question? How many of us have heard the promises of God and cry all night because we feel like there's nothing can be done? You know what I'm saying? But you see the circumstance. Well, this has happened, and this has happened, and this has happened. So there you go. It's all over. I got a song I like to sing. Now, it's about Lazarus, but it says, when he's 4 days late and all hope is gone, Lord, we don't understand why you waited so long. But his way is God's way. It's not yours or mine. And isn't it great when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. God knew exactly what he was doing. You know why I'll tell you the only reason I think, this is theology, this is Sterling. Okay, it's Sterling. You know why I think he waited 3 days in the tomb? Why? Once he paid for it and he died, why wouldn't it have been almost instantaneous, you know? I think he waited 3 days so we all knew he was good and dead. I really do. He's gone. Gone, 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 gone. That's why I think he waited 3 days so we really knew he was dead. He didn't come off the tomb and 2 hours later come out of the tomb. Well, then he was never dead in the first place. You know, that's what they're going to say. Oh, he just fainted. He got in a swoon. No, he was in an old, cold tomb for 3 days with no help. And the way he had been beaten and all he had been through, he was dead. Dead. So they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. That's why she was weeping. She wasn't weeping because of the truth. She was weeping because of a lie she had convinced herself was true. She was weeping because of a lie she convinced herself was true because she was not walking by faith, but by sight. And that was life. Again, how many of us live life in sorrow and in tears when Jesus is waiting to do something miraculous? But we say, well, it's done. There's nothing we can do. Let her be. Mary went back to the tomb with Peter and John. Now remember, this is things you learn while you're looking for Jesus. Mary was looking for Jesus. Now, when I say that, that means the first time she went in the tomb and found out there wasn't anybody there, the stone was rolled away, she went and told the disciples, and John and Peter ran back to the tomb. Well, she ran back with them. Now, the fact is, the tomb is not too far outside the city, but it's down the valley, got to get over there to Kidron Valley and back and forth. You know, it's a good little hike over there. So she had just hiked out over there before the sun was up in the morning. And then she ran back and told John and Peter what was going on. And she tells them, then they start running. And she runs back to the tomb. Why does she go back to the tomb? Thing's empty. Go back and you go look yourself if you want. Really, right? The thing's empty. Why am I going to run? Why am I going to run back over there, come down the valley, go up the hill? Why am I going to do that? And she's running in her little sandals on the cobblestone street, you know, got blisters on her heels by now. Why bother? I'll tell you why. She was still seeking. You know, in the back of her mind, she says, I know what I see, but I don't think I'm seeing what I'm seeing. There's more to it than this. By the way, we're going to find out she's the first one that Jesus talks to. Not the great Peter who's going to preach at Pentecost. Not the disciple whom Jesus loved, John. But the little street girl that had seven demons, because she decided she's going to seek the Lord. And there's some things we learn when we truly seek the Lord. She saw what was there the first time. And why did she need to go back? Because her heart would not let go. There's something else here. And by the way, don't let some old, dried up, moss-backed Christian convince you you'll get over the joy of your salvation and you'll settle down one of these years. I had gotten fired up, and I was talking one day, and I was talking to a Christian, and they were, they've been around, they've been Christian for a long time. I said, "Well, isn't that nice? But you'll get over this." I said, "I hope not. I hope not." Now that was probably, let's see here. That was probably about 16 or 17. Let's say I was 20, and now if I was 20 and now I'm 60, that's 40 years ago. So over 40 years ago. I still get excited. We should get excited. In her heart, all the evidence was saying that Jesus was gone. There's nothing more to see here, Mary. Go home. But she still went back as if she was hoping to find something. God likes it when you hang on. Letter C. Mary stayed at the tomb. When the other guys headed back to town, I don't think she stayed there because, I'm going to rest here a while before I go back. I don't think it was a deal. She stayed here and she looked into that tomb. Why did she bother to stay? Nothing's changed in the physical that she knows of. I mean, she's been staying the whole time. She didn't see anybody go in. She didn't see anybody come out. Everything's just like it was. An empty tomb and nobody. Shouldn't she have just let it go? Mary, just let it go. Your problem is you're not willing to grieve. You're not willing to accept the facts. You just need to let it go. I've heard that too. We're not going to find Jesus. He no longer exists. Get over it. Move on with life the best you can. How often are we disappointed with what the Lord did or did not do, and we think we are doing right by resolving ourselves that the Lord is just not going to do anything more than man can do on his own? You follow that? We get upset with God because, well, he's not going to do anything more than man can do, and that's just the way it is. We just got to resolve ourselves, accept the fact that, not God doesn't really do anything. It's really supernatural. If they had truly known the scriptures, they would have been looking for something great to happen. So number one, don't give up seeking for Jesus. Number two, when we're looking for Jesus, we will find Jesus has been watching over us all the time. Let me say it the way it is here. We will find Jesus is watching over us whether we see him or not. Jesus said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Our Lord Jesus is God. He's not bound by the physical properties and laws of this earth, this cosmos. Just because he's absent from our eyesight does not mean he's absent from our presence. Verse 14, and when she had thus said, now wait a minute, they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, the angels, "Because they have taken away my Lord and know not where they have laid him." So she's looking inside the tomb. She sees the two angels, one at the end, at each end of the spot where Jesus had laid. And she said, I don't know, they've taken the Lord. I don't know where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, verse 14, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. You know, if we could see through spiritual eyes, I think we would see that the Lord has never left us nor forsaken us. Now, I don't want to get corny or sentimental, but it's still true. It's why everybody knows it. The old picture of the footprints in the sand. You know the old picture. I know. The reason why everybody has one sitting someplace in their attic or in the basement or someplace over the years is because somewhere along the way, it taught us that principle. Now, Lord, I noticed in the good times there was two sets of footprints. And you walked with me. But I noticed, Lord, that when the times got hard and stress and strain came and I could hardly make it, that there was only one set of footprints there. Lord, why did you leave me? And he says, no. That's when I carried you. She turns around, and there stands a man. And she didn't know who it was. You know what I think? I think if we truly knew the character of Jesus, again, there's that word, know, knew. If we truly know the character of Jesus, we would know that he never will forsake us. In other words, if he will never forsake us, and you come to a place where your tomb is empty, so to speak, and you don't know where he's gone, he's around here somewhere. Right? He's around here somewhere. So I'm going to stick around until he shows up. I'm not going to run away. If he hasn't told me to move, I'm going to stick around until he shows up. Old song that Jan and I, years ago, we used to go around to churches and sing, and I played my guitar, and she played her clarinet. And one of them we did was, he was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Watch this. What if she went back to town with the boys? She wouldn't have been there. If she left, she would not have looked back into the tomb and saw the angels. Letter B. Jesus knows our name. Jesus knows our name. Verse 14, when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? That's the same question that the angels asked her. Why are you weeping? Well, they took him, my Lord, away, and I don't know where they've taken him. But see, Jesus knew her heart. Woman, why weepest thou? And then he said, whom seekest thou? There was one person at the tomb right there. The rest of them went home. But there was one person in all the world at that moment who sought him enough to go back to the place he saw him last. I'm going to go back to where it was the last time I saw him. You ever lost your car keys? You know what you do? First thing you do? You try to go back to the last place you remember seeing them. And you start looking. You know they're there somewhere. Right? You do. You know they've got to be there somewhere. I shouldn't do this. I have one of those fancy car fobs, you know, for my car. And it has the key in it, you know. So, in other words, if everything goes dead, you can take the key out and you can get into the car. But you can't start it because electronics are in the fob. But you can get into it so you can have it towed or whatever. And I had one of these. I probably shouldn't have taken that out. But it kept getting loose. And I was here on a Wednesday night. And I went into my office and grabbed a few things. I had my keys and laid them there. And then I picked them up and put them back in my pocket and came over here. We talked. I got ready to go home. And when I got ready to go home, there was nothing under my thing but the key itself. And the fob was gone. Well, I know it's got to be here somewhere, right? I didn't go anywhere. I mean, nobody stuck their hand in my pocket and stole it. So, I mean, I know it was here somewhere. So I'm looking around, looking around, looking around, looking around, looking around, looking around, looking around. I couldn't find it. Well, actually, I had come in early, and Janet had driven her car, so we went home in her car. The next day, I looked. I had an extra one. They gave you two, so I used that for it. I said, but I ought to have an extra one. You know how much those things cost? Oh, my soul. I think it was like $275 or something. Maybe it was more than that. I don't remember. It was a lot. But I thought, well, I got to have one, and I got to have an extra really neat. So I went over to Stettler over here, Dodge Place, and they made one up for me, and I put it in my pocket, and they... You know, they of course they had to redo it. You know, so it was actually a different frequency. I am not kidding you. The next day, I walked into my office. Now I had looked everywhere. That little bugger had fallen off that key, and it was exactly in the very middle of the chair that's in my office. Just as you walk in the office, there's a chair sits there. And I had looked all the way around this thing. It was exactly in the middle where I couldn't see it. And I walked in, I had my hands full, and I kind of pushed the chair a little bit. I shouldn't have. There it was. Anyway, I knew it was here, so I kept looking. I guess I should have kept looking. And same thing goes with the Lord. He's here. If you don't see him, he has not moved. We might have moved, but he hasn't moved. So you keep seeking him. Now, letter B, I said this. Jesus knows our name. He said, woman, why weepest thou? Why, whom seekest thou? And she supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. What's she saying? He's got to be here somewhere. She's not giving up. He's got to be here somewhere, and I'm going to find him. Again, everybody else already all gone home. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. I'm serious. The Bible says, if you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. Deuteronomy says, But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Jeremiah 29:12 says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And listen, he said, and I'm sorry, that's the wrong verse I was looking for there. I copied the wrong one over there. Jeremiah, was it 29:12? There's another one here I want you to see. Right there with it. Yeah, I was supposed to have verse 13 too. Jeremiah 29:13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. How do I know it was with all her heart? Because she was going back and forth to the tomb. Because even though she saw an empty tomb, she stayed there. He's got to be here somewhere. Even though the other disciples said, well, I guess it's all over. Let's go back to town. She stayed. And even later, when they show up and tell the disciples, we know what happened. He rose again. It was as if they were telling idle tales. She says, I don't care what you all say. I don't care what I see, what seems to be the circumstances. He's here somewhere because he said he would be. I don't know whether she knew about the resurrection or not. I think she just knew Jesus wouldn't let us down. I know his character. He's got to be here somewhere. He may be dead. I don't know. But he's got to be here. I'm not letting loose. So she was seeking, let her see, Mary was seeking Jesus. She was seeking Jesus. She didn't know where or how she was going to find him, but she was seeking him. And letter D, Mary was seeking the truth. In her heart, Jesus was dead and Jesus was gone and man had won and outmaneuvered Jesus. And yet Mary was seeking the truth in spite of the evidence. Otherwise, why was she still at the tomb? We're going to stop there. You turn the page, I know. It's time to get out of here. We'll start with this next week.